JC2S, Part 2.
Number 21B.
So therefore, as I was saying, that we turn then to truth as the only remedy, and as mind, we saw that that divine mind is the remedy of truth. That divine mind which we turn to, which sees the end from the beginning, and gives us that vision, that specific vision through the Christ operation, giving us the specific idea for the specific situation, is made known through the mind of Christ and its translation and retranslation, that now is the remedy of truth. And therefore, we see therefore that mind is the medicine. Therefore, its ideas that are made known to us are the only medicine, therefore our only remedy. And therefore, as spirit, we saw that divine mind, which is the only medicine, never called matter medicine. We certainly know that now, that only mind's ideas heal beliefs. A matter can never heal a belief. And therefore, we saw, yes, that divine mind is the only medicine, and that divine mind is superior, certainly, to the human mind in its methods and to matter in its methods. So we always already had that terrific sense of truth as mind, where mind is the medicine through the mind of Christ bringing to us its specific ideas. Then we said at spirit, oh yes, that mind, which is the only medicine, which is that mind of Christ in its translation and retranslation, that mind only works through its own channels, which are spiritual. It never works through material means. And that's where we then did that method of practice with ourselves and Sammy, when we saw therefore that divine mind, really having the mind of Christ, that was the channel mind uses, is the Christ channel, is its own channel. See, mind uses what channel? Christ. Christ is the channel. Mind operates through its own channel, which is the Christ. And what is the Christ channel in its first translation? How that mind comes to us through the first translation we saw, through the principle, life, truth, love, soul, spirit, mind. And that retranslates out of us all those false beliefs. So mind used its channel of the Christ coming to us, and it used its channel of the translation and retranslation. That was the only means mind turned to, was to the Christ of this chapter, the law of this chapter, the law of this chapter, which is the Christ reflecting the Christ. That was the only channel, never any others. And then it just wanted to bring that a little clearer, that mind only uses the channel of the mind of Christ as mind, because that's the only power we saw, that mind got its power through the power of the Christ order. And that mind operating only through the channel of the Christ order brought that specific idea to us, which was the remedy. Certainly it didn't have to go through the channel of drugs, it says. And then it says there, therefore, that mind which uses its only channels, which was the Christ channel, the power of the Christ channel in its translation and retranslation, as spirit, didn't use human willpower as a channel, auto-suggestion, I hope I'm better, I will I'm better, I imagine I'm better, so I'm going to get better, all that mental self-hypnosis that goes on there in that mental psycho-cybernetics, which has nothing to do with divine cybernetics, where they try to imagine that they're well and then try to bring out that wellness just through auto-suggestion, that it doesn't rely on any of that human willpower of the human mind. It just stays with the power of mind in its Christ translation and retranslation, because that human willpower is just going to produce evil continually, because it just wills what it wants for its life and not what is right within the holistic plan of being. So at the point of soul, we saw, yes, we turned then to the immortal mind and now had that spiritual understanding to see that the victory is on the patient's side, on our side, only spirit tone, when we turn to that mind which is Christ. So now with that understanding that as truth is mind, that divine mind is the medicine, which is the remedy, and as spirit only uses its channels, now what is that going to tell us about its soul? So then after we've done that little exercise, we go in our room, and praying through point three, the flow of the epitomes. Then we go on this afternoon and say, now what is the surprise of life in the adventure of love that I have betraying the truth of soul tone? And it says, oh, well, that healing power that we have just seen, which is mind, that was lost at one time through religious and medical idolatry, and that it had to be rediscovered in Christian Science at this age of truth. And so she'll show now the important place value of the textbook in healing there at Seoul. You have that overall tonality of the 6,000-year period here of science and health, of this the Seoul tone. It's identifying the place value of truth's volume within the 6,000-year period, showing, oh yes, that this book, Science and Health, has a role. It is truth's volume. It is definitely truth's volume because it's that which heals. It's that which puts off the old man and puts on the new man. It takes up from the Bible. It gives the science of healing behind the Bible. As we saw, we couldn't jump from the 5th to the 6,000, 7,000 year period. We've had to go through the textbook to come to this point of medicine where I see the truth now in this truth volume. And so that truth, which is given to us in the textbook, it was lost. And science and health through science, see? That truth was lost. How was it rediscovered in the age of the 6,000-year period of truth? And the age of the 6,000-year period of truth is the age of science. So therefore, this truth was discovered through science, through the method of science, and it's definitely scientific rules, enable us through the method of science to find out the answer, what is reality? It was the method of science that let us find out what is reality. That reality is of the nature of the seven synonyms termed for God, which operate on the four levels of consciousness. So we see, therefore, that it was the method of science that gave us the divine system of reference of the seven synonyms termed for God, their fourfold operation on the different levels of science. And by finding out what was reality, science also brought us the methods of how to become one with reality, how to go over that concepts of the divine infinite calculus and go over that divine system of reference and over that divine system of reference till the structure of reality and the structure of our consciousness are one, till we have that truth consciousness, and that truth consciousness is the mind of Christ that heals. And that's all brought out in this truth is soul tone, giving us the place value of the textbook within that healing, identifying the place value of the textbook as truth's volume within that 6,000-year period. So as before we took our noon break, we were beginning to see then that this tone of truth is soul identifies really truth volume within the 6,000-year period. It shows, therefore, the mission of science and health and what it is in relationship to, as Mrs. Eddy will show, the fifth in relationship to the 6,000-year period. But I would like to go a little, just 1,000-year period back a little bit. She will compare truth volume it within this truth of soul tone with Jesus' life and his mission. But I would like to compare it all the way back to the 4,000-year period. And we'll do this to begin with before we get into the tone of truth of soul. So when we come to the exact point, the textbook is actually pinpointed as its mission at truth of soul. But I will present it here at the beginning of Truth is Soul. So when we come at Truth is Soul is Soul, we needn't break a flow while we're in our discussion. So I presented this subject of Truth is Soul is Soul at the first evening, and so would like to go over it. Just sometimes when one presents something, one just gets the tone of it. It was the first evening. A lot of us were just arriving. And it's also good to let something sit for a while and then go back over it again and rediscover perhaps points that we didn't hear the first time. Now, I'm not going to rush through this because it's very important that we appreciate the textbook in its place value within spiritual history. And as I said that first evening, I feel that it has a very unique place value in spiritual healing alongside other books of revelation. Its unique value is certainly then alongside of the Bible. As far as the other revealed text, I leave that completely out of the discussion. I think one has to go with what one sees concerning the textbook that we have here as a Christian Science textbook. And if it fulfills a certain category in being, well then, if the shoe fits, wear it. So, therefore, we can see that if we look at spiritual history, which started in and around 4004 BC is when Bishop Usher puts biblical history. Well, we know, we say that mankind has been on the earth a lot longer than 6,000 years ago, and therefore they say, well then are you just another one of the creationists? No, we certainly aren't creationists. We don't take the Bible literally. The creationists believe that 6,000 years ago God created light and then the sky of the firmament and then earth and then the sun, the moon, and the stars and then the fish and then animals and then man and then it was finished 6,000 years ago. We take the Bible, we know, as a book of symbols, a history of ever-present ideas. So what we see happening about 6,000 years ago is therefore the biblical writers saying that this is about the time that mankind and evolution of consciousness is ready to evolve spiritually. Even the culture evolutionists are saying that the body evolved up to a specific point, and then that which has evolved since has been consciousness. So what the biblical writers were interested in was the evolution of spiritual consciousness. Therefore, they could see that it would take, as it says in 2 Peter, one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. That it would take 1,000 years to live out each day of creation as it handles the claim that it can be turned into its opposite, that it handles the claim of spiritualism. So we saw then the first evening that really what is happening is that being is saying I am throughout all of its creation. That being is, God is. God doesn't have to be created. God doesn't have to move towards any point of omega. Neither do we. We saw that our identity is already a fact in being. It's already in white garments. So each session we've put on our white garments and have put on the mind of Christ, letting that mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. So we have seen then that our identity also is a fact and fulfilled. And as being is saying, I am throughout its creation, it has its impact, therefore, on consciousness. Therefore, it's just being saying, they could see, I am, in that first 1,000-year period, handling the first day of creation, I am mind, hence I cannot be turned into my opposite called mortal mind, given to us in the book of Genesis. Then the second 1,000-year period, God saying, I am spirit of the second day, I cannot be turned into my opposite of the two-valued logic of duality, that frictional logic which brings out that matter concept given to us in the book of Genesis, especially the book there about Noah. Then we could see that God is saying, I am soul in the third 1,000-year period, the third day. I am not, I cannot be turned into my opposite of sense testimony, and therefore being given in especially the books of Exodus, Joshua, and Judges. And then God coming into the 4,000-year period saying, I am principle, I am not personality, fulfilling therefore the fourth day of creation, being shown to us in the books of First and Second Samuel, the minor prophets especially. Then we know the Old Testament closes, and God continues to say, I am life. I am not of the cycle of birth, maturity, and death into a matter concept, that I am that ever-present, deathless life, given to us, therefore, in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, showing Jesus' fulfillment of that fifth day, that 5,000-year period of life individually. And, of course, the epistles of Paul showing the attitude that we have in accepting that standpoint of the 5,000-year period. The 5,000-year period closes then with the book of Revelation of Jesus presenting, therefore, the vision to John that a little book will come which will be open and will teach you the spirit of truth. The spirit of truth behind all things. Then the Bible closes. Then we can see God goes right on. I am truth. I am of the state of divine consciousness. I am all that which has gone before constitutes divine consciousness. And therefore I am not mortal consciousness. Seeing therefore that truth's volume, science and health fulfills that standpoint of holistic truth consciousness through the method of science and understanding, enabling us to put off the old man in consciousness and to put on the new. Then God will go right on and is going on today saying, I am love, therefore I am that whole realm in which that truth consciousness lives and moves and has its being. And therefore we see the text there is love's volume, which would be the model of being, that model of consciousness, that model of that self-operating, self-regulating, error-preventing, error-correcting consciousness of divine science that knows no accuser, which handles any belief of imperfection. The allness of God hints the awful unreality called evil. Evil is therefore excommunicated at this point of the 7,000-year period from the presence of the Lord. And consciousness is back where it always has been anyhow, out from the I am that I am. That one ego, the I, which is am, which is a substantive verb for being. The I is being. The I is aming, if you want to say. And we get that law of being, that law of isness, that law of infinite reflection on the science level. So if we now have that overall tone that being is and the becoming is just God saying I am throughout its creation, showing us a spiritual evolution which is always lifting off the restraints of material resistance called material retrogression according to what they call the laws of entropy. Therefore, we see then that through this spiritual evolution, matter has just step by step gone the opposite way of the spiritual evolution until it has gone right out of the picture back into its native nothingness from dust to dust. But now if we want to really zero in on the textbook then, we see then that if we look at the 4,000-year period, that kingdom period, which is brought out in the Samuel book, that whole period that asked really that Emmanuel question, is there no God in you? Huh? Is there no king in you? That's the Emmanuel. Does not the Christ come to you, to us individually? And so therefore we see that the minor prophets begin to show us how, yes, there is a Savior, there is a king in every man, and the Christ is operating to bring it out. While the symbol of the 4,000-year period in asking that question, is there no king in you, is the symbol of the revelation of the idea. It has much more that influx of Emmanuel. God comes to us, reveals its idea. And therefore, the 5,000-year period at the point of Jesus answers that question. Is there no king in you? And Jesus says, yes, there is. So Jesus individually acknowledges the king within him, that Christ consciousness within him. And as we have seen then in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he then is what we would say that divine infinite calculus in operation. He then really, as we have in the model of being, he really is a natural divine scientist. He naturally, as we have seen now and gone over many times, in Mark fulfilled the law of the interdependence of the word. In Matthew fulfilled the law of interdependence of the word. And in Mark, as we've seen now, the law of interdependence of the Christ. And in Luke, the law of interdependence of Christianity. And as we, many of us have seen and will see in John, the law of interdependence of the science. Now, that was all natural with him. He didn't leave any principle or rule behind his life experience. We are beginning to understand that now. Mrs. Eddy said he was a natural divine scientist. He just was this. His works and his words went together. He just naturally was the state of consciousness, and in the state of consciousness, it healed. But he said, greater works than these ye shall do. I go unto my Father. So now we just culture that point of the 5,000-year period where we see, all right, back to that 1,000-year period, we say, yes, well, the Christ came as the individual Jesus. He was the individual Christ consciousness. It was a unity between the symbol and its idea. Jesus and the symbol were one and the same thing at that point. And when he said, a little book will come to teach you the spirit of all things. Therefore, that's what we see now is, as we've said, the 6,000-year period, Christ science, that it's that science now in which allows us collectively to answer yes to the question, is there no king in you? See, Jesus answered the question at the 5,000-year period for himself. He says, yes, there's a king in me. And so he proved it, naturally. But what about us? As I said the first evening, what good does it do that Jesus said, yes, there's a king in me, and I show you that through my words and my works, but that's wonderful. But what good does it do for us? Well, as we've seen now that religion feels that, well, that does a lot of good. Jesus is the, I can get, Jesus healed me of my sins. Jesus, that was vicarious salvation. He's done it all for us. Well, we begin to realize that's not a method of a science. It would just be the same then as if, taking the example, as if I would come and give this class on science, theology, and medicine out from the mind of Christ, and say, yes, I individually accept there is a king in me, and I now show you that my words and works go together, and therefore I present a lecture on the structure of the sixth chapter. And you would say, wonderful, wonderful, isn't that wonderful, and would acknowledge the king in me. But what good would it do for you? Just to come to a lecture to listen to the structure of the sixth chapter, going home and listening to how I had attended the birth of the divine idea within me. It would really be listening to that child in me. But then we would say, what about your child, huh? What about the child within me? Therefore, we can see that one would just be listening, as I said, to the child that I have given birth to, but that would be the 5,000-year period. That is the period of the lecture just showing you the words and the works within the individual consciousness. But that is would be, if we'd say, that's all I need to do is go to hear a lecture, give a lecture on the structure of the sixth chapter. That's all I need to get into the kingdom of heaven. That's vicarious salvation. We're just taking the child of the lecture and listening to it and expecting that to do something for us, where we all have been at that standpoint. So now we begin to realize that listening is to somebody else's saying, yes, the king is within me, will not help us. That's why the 6,000-year period answers the question, yes, collectively, where the 5,000-year period, as I said, answers it, yes, for each individual. The 6,000 period says, yes, there is a king, and it's within us collectively. And it can be brought out of us collectively through the method of science and understanding. So that's why what we see, therefore, that office of the 6,000-year period is Christ's science. It's science now which is the Savior. Science which now is the Christ to the situation. And as Mrs. Eddy said then, of our age, to one born of the flesh, to us born into that morphogenetic field of these false beliefs, divine science must be a discovery. So we see now the difference between a revelation and a discovery. That in the 4,000-year period, we have the revelation of the idea, that Christ reveals itself, meaning, is there no king in you? And meaning that's the period where we give everything back to the Lord, expecting the Lord to come to us, to reveal to us the idea. And it does. It has that revelation of the idea to us. But here, the accentuation on the sixth 1,000-year period is on the discovery. How it's now, if the 4,000-year period gives us the Christ with the accentuation on revelation, the 6,000-year period gives us the Christ with the accentuation on discovery. So you have the Christ with its accent on the first translation in the 4,000-year period, and in the 6,000-year period, the Christ with its accent on the retranslation, the discovery, the step-by-step process. The Christ is now in its science. So you have that accentuation of the Christ in its revelation of the 4,000-year period, and you have the accentuation of the Christ in its science in the 6,000-year period. So you have the accentuation on the 4,000-year period of Christ in the Emmanuel, God comes to us, and in the 6,000-year period, the accentuation is now the Christ in its science, the Christ as a method of discovery.